I'm here with Gallup mover and shaker Bill Bright, known for his work with Gallup Solar, the Sustainable Gallup Board, and today talking about Habitat for Humanity. Hello, Bill.
Thanks for having me back, Rachel. For the listeners who can't see it, would you describe my hat today?
Bill is wearing a Habitat for Humanity hat, very well worn.
Frazzled.
Yes.
That's the message that I have for today. I was with Gallup Habitat since the beginning, 2001, on the initial board. At that time, we had a banker on board who's since moved away. We had a wonderful church secretary, Audrey, who moved away. We've had attorneys and realtors and wonderful people who either moved away or resigned. We're in the need of renewal, regrouping, basically, from our infrastructure. I want to list the wonderful things that we do have and then some of the things that with our challenges today. Our assets are we have properties. Thanks to the city of Gallup, we have another property that's ready. We can put a three-bedroom on there. So we have that asset. So far, all the six lots for houses have been donated. We're starting our sixth house. So that's the asset of Gallup that it offered us with various people, either willing us their property as individuals or the city donating property. That's an asset. We have another asset of a UNM Gallup partnership. The construction tech people, students and classes often come over and do quite a bit of the work on the house for credit. Gets them out of a setting in a classroom, get hands-on. It's really good for the students, I think, and for us, help quite a bit. So we still have that asset. We can't depend on it solely, but it is a real boost to our construction part. So that's an asset. We have contractors, local contractors. You know, we have to comply with state law and inspection and city inspections, and we have often electrical contractors, plumbing, HVAC, and so on, that do either donate their services or discount their services to us. And so we do have, the good response from contractors and licensed people that we have to have on the job site, besides our regular volunteers. The big boxes have helped. Walmart, Home Depot, Ace, Bubini, they've all helped with either discounting or donating items to us. Every once in a while we get a call to go pick up things that are going out anyway and have to be replaced or being thrown away, and perfectly good items. So that's an asset. Thank the community for that. I want to give everybody credit. We do have assets, and people, wonderful people have shown up over the years to do construction. Here's the challenge. Over the years, it's become much more difficult for anyone contracting and building and mortgage carrier. We carry the mortgages for several of our homes, and it's become much more difficult. More paperwork, more federal paperwork, state paperwork in terms of actually completing a mortgage and doing all those things right. Those are things that people don't see. Unfortunately, people respond to Habitat. They see what they've seen on TV, the Jimmy Carter and his wife, and they want to go out and put one of those hard hats on, and a hammer. Well, that's nice, but that's not quite the way it works here. We need people in the background that you don't see. We're talking about board member work, committee work, expertise in mortgages and how they work. We're being required to follow OSHA guidelines, safety guidelines. We need a person to be trained for that. That's a state training that someone has to go to actually look at each part of the project. I've been doing that, but it really shouldn't be done by somebody who's actively working on the house and showing people how to do things, because you can't stand back and look at safety issues. I'm talking about ladder safety on down. This could be a person that maybe physically are unable to do construction, that kind of work. If they could just stand there with a clipboard and watch our process when we're on construction, that would satisfy, and go to these trainings to know what to watch for, our hazards construction. We need a person to satisfy, to look at the requirements of New Mexico MFA, Mortgage Finance Authority. They also do similar to Habitat. They provide mortgages and housing loans for low-income people, similar to us. And on this last house, we tried something different. Instead of building a house and then being broke and then having to wait a couple of years to generate enough funds for the next house, we were able to sell the mortgage to MFA. We were able to get the majority of the money that was worth up front back from them, So we're able to, that's another asset. We have funds in the bank for a change right after the last house. So we can proceed without waiting so long between houses. But to do that was a paperwork, and I don't want to say nightmare and scare everybody off, but MFA has requirements that have to be looked at before we even start the house. The specs, the design. Something, example, is a requirement to have a pantry for your linens outside of the bathroom. It's actually spelled out that way. This one requirement. Well, so when we're drawing the plans for the house, I have to remind the person doing the drawing, if we're going to satisfy MFA and we're going to need to sell this house to them or get the financing help, we need to start right at the beginning by designing the house and square footage and all that based on their specs. So someone just being in charge of that all the way to the end, quite a bit of paperwork and quite a bit of detail. Some people would just do that anyway. You know, if we had someone who was from a real estate background, a banking background, mortgaging, to just do that on, you know, for a few hours now and then for us, that would take that load off. So it's just an example of so much paperwork and some behind the scenes nowadays to do anything having to do with something as complicated as a house and a mortgage.
Have you had an opportunity to approach any local financial institutions or banks to see if they would share your recruitment interest with their employees?
You know, we've had people on our board that come from different banks who've either moved on, you know, in their life and so on. So that's often a real asset. I do want to give credit to Washington Bank here in town. They have, through their corporate office, they handle the mortgages that we do have in terms of collecting the payments and doing that. So thanks to them for doing that. Of course, what we want to continue to do is to sell the mortgage to MFA. Also want to ask for people that can do quality assurance. We have forms from Habitat International. It used to be national in Atlanta, Georgia, but now it's Habitat International. Since Habitat has grown so large and responded to so many crises throughout the world, they're usually the first one there to provide housing after hurricanes and disasters and earthquakes. They have also increased their expectations of all the local affiliates, and we have to apply quality assurance forms that we get quarterly and annually, and we get different surveys and different sort of policies that they expect us to have in place as a 501c3 and as affiliate of Habitat. We need people that are good with those kind of things, policy wonks. And they have a wonderful website at the international office. You don't have to reinvent these things. You know, you can borrow templates and just take them to the board and get them approved, get them updated. We have to watch for things like sex offenders. We have to check with each volunteer that comes to the site. Habitat's not going away, but we're going to delay the start of the next house. Right now we have the lot. We're submitting plan to the city. But we have to hold up the house until we have all these people in the background. There's Family Selection Committee, a whole other example. There's so many committees. Some of this committee work would be perfect for a social worker type. Someone in that with that background that can handle confidential information for the applications and do background checks for the and so on, that's all required.
We have a number of people with expertise who are retired living in the area, but the hard nut to crack there is that when people do retire, they are hoping they won't have to spend a lot of time doing what they used to do in a career. How do you approach retirees with expertise to see if they would lend even a little of their time and expertise to your projects?
Well, we've seen both kinds on there. We have people who do have a field of work that they've done that's similar to Habitat, and they are so good at it because they are acquainted with it. And then others who may be burnt out from that and want to do something entirely different and hammer nails. Well, we have those too. So there's something for everybody. Another example is we're required now to have a loan originator training. This is a concept that's nationwide. Contractors and mortgage companies and banks are requiring special training that's being provided in the state of New Mexico by our state affiliates. Someone has to go to that and become a certified loan originator. That's looking at the whole process of a mortgage, making loans to people and payments and so on, the latest data on that, federal guidelines and so on. I don't have anybody to take that training. But if someone from the field in banking or real estate, it might be even valuable to them if they're still working.
If someone had a facility for certain things, maybe didn't work in this capacity, but might be willing to train to do some of these things. Is there any free or low-cost training available if someone does want to commit to being involved and just needs to be trained first?
Yes, good point. All these trainings will be paid for out of our account. The Habitat can certainly send people to pay for the training or the travel to the training, whatever it is. Most of them are within state in New Mexico. That's not a problem. It wouldn't be any out of cost to them. It's just a matter of time and people being able just to go to these things, learn the topic, become the person for that particular area, come back to us, be a member of the board or be a committee member.
For someone who is looking for an opportunity to train for a new career, is it possible that there might be a way to work out an agreement so that in exchange for committing to a certain tenure period with Habitat for Humanity, that the training would be provided that could eventually lead to something else for them?
Yeah, I could see that. I could really see that. In other words, we're talking about a different generation. A lot of the folks that have been working with Habitat are basically aging out. I mean, their doctors are telling them not to lift, you know, that much weight anymore, or having various conditions, they actually can't come to construction anymore and do the work. But then the next generation is basically not showing up much. You know, I understand they've got student loans to pay. I understand the pressure of making it financially these days, but we're just not seeing that younger generations coming and spending a lot of time. They'll come once, you know, to help now and when they can, but staying with Habitat, learning a particular role to play and being a regular volunteer of any kind is just seems to be missing. I think a lot of nonprofit groups are facing that generation gap.
Certainly in this area, as may be the case in many parts of the world, we see the aging of many community service organizations. There tends to be a skewing of the age range upward as time goes on.
And we so need those younger people, you know, especially in the tech area. And we have had wonderful volunteers that have set up our website, again, moved away. Technical needs, not to mention some of the home building technology.
I don't think that there's one solution to this problem of getting the human resources needed to keep any community organization going. Habitat for Humanity is a special case in which you need expertise in so many different areas. But you begin, as you are today, by getting the word out.
I want to make a particular pitch to the various faith-based groups in town. You know, the original group of people met in one of the local churches. They had sent out that form letter to all the different churches in town, send a person and $50 to help form the 501c3. As a member of the Baha'i faith, we received that letter. I was the only one in the room that was retired and had an interest in the background in industrial arts. I was sent with $50 and served on the initial board. But we've lost that faith-based backing, too, you know, the various churches in town, because this is a faith-based group. It's not required that you have any particular denomination to be with Habitat. I don't want to get that impression. All faith or people of no faith are welcome in any position, but it does have a definite spiritual component. And I feel that every day on the construction site, there's so many details and problems seem insurmountable. How do we get past this particular permit or whatever? And I'll go to bed, go sleep on it, and wake up in the morning with an answer, or the next day a person will show up with the right skills or the answer that we need. So the whole thing is a spiritual process and a wonderful service in the sense of a hand up, not a hand out. Everybody's involved in community building process. One of the many committees that we used to have when we had 15 people on the board was church relations, a whole separate committee of people who were able, had the skills, had the the ability to get themselves invited to various churches to speak to the pastors, the leadership. Sometimes they would just invite you right in to talk to the congregation on Sunday or whatever. And I've done some of that, and it was a wonderful experience and something we need to, again, who's going to do that sort of work? It's a special kind of thing to be able to speak to people in the church or communities. We need that. That's a whole other committee that we've lost along the way.
If you go back to the families that are getting this housing through the efforts of Habitat, it might be worthwhile to look at the varied backgrounds of those families that you served and to determine whether there might be communities connected with those families that might be approached.
Again, another committee called a family support. We've done, family support committees have done things as detailed as noticing when people were behind on their mortgage payments, going over for, unlike a bank, going over personally for visits, repeated visits, and finding out what's going on. Finding out in one particular case that the woman of the house had lost her job and didn't tell anyone. We actually got her job back through our connections. So that's family support. That's the real, you know, we don't just have a, here's a mortgage, good luck. We have follow-up for as long as it takes with each of our families to get acquainted. How are their children doing? Are they, you know, staying in school? Are they going to college? Habitat's not about a house. It's changing the whole life patterns, getting out of debt, and moving into a whole another realm, you know, of economic security. And we know from the data that all of our children, we have so many children in these families, are more likely to finish a high school in a stable home. We got the data on that. So this is influencing whole generations.
Have you had collaborations with like-minded organizations such as CARE 66, such as the Jim Harlan Community Pantry?
Yes, for both. We've worked closely with CARE 66. We're working right now with the Gallup Housing Authority in terms of helping locate potential next families, because they've got people paying rent that are maybe outgrowing a particular rental and so on, and they have that good payment record that we could give us some background information of good candidates. That would free up one of their needed rentals on, for their waiting list, and give a family to us that they has proof that they can pay their bills and do their budgeting and so on. There's that. So with the community pantry, we've often combined and fundraising events, you know, when we were city, the corporations that were remodeling some of the low-income groups, housings here in town, were taking out refrigerators and ranges by the dozens, hundreds of them, and we were able to contact them, and they were donating them to Habitat for Humanity, and we placed a lot of those in the pantry to share the cost, resale of those perfectly good refrigerators for the pantry, and then raising money for ourselves. So, yes, we, and then, of course, referring our families with family support. If they in a financial bind, and if they qualify, you know, we encourage them to go to the food banks, you know, for food assistance and whatever it takes, because we want them to pay, be able to pay their mortgage.
There is such a need in this area for affordable housing, for access to affordable nutrition. All of the organizations involved in those efforts will probably continue to collaborate on various projects. Now, Habitat is a separate national organization, but is there an option in the future to collaborate on actual projects? So, for instance, might Habitat be involved with, say, the construction of new affordable housing in connection with CARE 66 or similar ventures?
It's one of those things that's sort of driven by grants, unfortunately. And so we all look at grants together. That's a whole other area, by the way, grant writing. We have, this last year that I know of, passed up a $5,000 grant, a bank grant, and a $15,000 another bank grant. $20,000 we passed up this year for Habitat because there's no one to write the grant by the deadline, and I just can't do it all. Grantees is a whole other language that I don't understand. Some people can just write off grants. We no problem for them, and that's the one we're looking for, because there's a whole area of sustenance and sustainability that we're losing right now. We don't any longer have a grant writer.
There's really no requirement for someone to live in this area in order to assist, is there?
No, not really. What did you have in mind?
Well, one of the programs nationally that is available to any nonprofit organization, any 501c3, is from Google. Google AdWords.
Yes.
Have you heard of this?
Well, we, like I said, we had a person who set up our website, and we have a Gmail account set up for Habitat. I want to give those out, by the way. And we get ads from Google, and we get offers as a nonprofit. They'll donate a certain amount of dollar amount every year. Well, again, the person who is able to handle that offer to do the details that Google requires has moved away. We need a techie to respond, to look at our website, keep it up to date, knows a little bit of HTML, don't need to know much, you know, it's fairly simple, but also to keep an eye out for things like that for the organization, and that these guys are good at that. They're on their computers all the time. They just get that email instead of me, and they know what to do.
But a web tech or social media producer certainly could be anywhere in the world,
right,
and assist.
Very good, yes.
So again, how do we get the word out to the rest of the country, to the world, that Habitat in Gallup needs assistance with certain expertise?
Well, I understand that KGLP is web streaming, and anyone in the world can and does tune into the station here, Rachel. So who knows who's listening?
Who knows? We can also post information to our Facebook page.
Very good.
And I know that Habitat also has a Facebook
page. That's a whole nother job, keeping that Facebook. It gets so out of date so quick. And
it is.
It looks a little old sometimes. I try to remember to put things on there, but...
Well, you know, we're all one-person shows here.
Yes.
I manage the Facebook page for KGLP. You manage Facebook page for several different organizations,
mm-hmm,
on occasion.
Yes, my retirement jobs.
Yes, indeed. But I think that ultimately we are looking at all of the above.
This is a community endeavor, you know, and so we're community. We're reaching out. Where are you? A few representatives would pull us back together and get these things done, this house done properly, and all the details that go with it. We're going to have maybe a regroup organizational meeting when it's convenient for most of those people, and just get to go down over all these details we talked about today, assuming we get enough calls in, you know, of people interested to learn more about it, just to learn more about what we're talking about, and to sign up to come to a meeting and find out more about Habitat. Anybody interested in hearing this, email me, Bill Bright, B-R-I-G-H-T, and that's so simple. It's HabitatGallup, one word, at gmail.com. HabitatGallup@gmail.com. And then to find out more information about Habitat, our website is pretty informative. So again, that's very simple. HabitatGallup.org. We'll find that number. Call me at 505-722-4226. You'll get a machine, most likely, but leave a message and a number. We'll get back to you.
I've been speaking with Bill Bright, associated with many organizations in town, but today talking about Habitat for Humanity. For at least this discussion, it's time and expertise that you're looking for. You're not asking for money, although anybody that would like to donate is, of course, welcome.
Of course. Everybody that volunteers to be part of this wonderful process, we'll get a new Habitat hat, and I'll get a new one for myself at the same time. So we'll be all things made new here.